Hello and welcome to another MyTunes podcast from the Mark Tiley Morning Show. And this week we went inside Manx Radio. And we weren't talking particularly about the newsroom. In fact, we weren't really talking about radio. We were talking festivals and music with our very own Ed Oldham.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week on MyTunes, I have got a real person in a real studio, but distanced socially from me, because we're going inside the organisation this week. Ed Oldham is my guest this week. Thank you for coming on MyTunes.
Well, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to do so, Mark. I've been really enjoying hearing these over the months that you've been doing these now. It's really nice to hear people talking, you know, about music that means something to them, and also, you know, introducing fresh stuff to the daytime listener as well.
Well, I have no doubt, we've had a sneaky peek. We have got some wonderful crisp biscuits, as Rodigan might say, coming up this week. Superb, superb. Ed, when did you first remember getting into music?
That would be as a kid, I guess around probably 7 or 8. My mum and dad are not into music at all, they, you know, so I didn't grow up with it around as such. And they were both born in the 40s, so that could have been, you know, prime sort of rock and roll Beatles kind of era, but that just wasn't a thing. My sister, she did have some music, so I remember distinctly going into her room, sneaking into her room when she'd be out or away or whatever, and seeing the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell cover. That was the one that really sort of, you know, struck me at first. I couldn't believe the imagery, and then you hear the music, and it was just like nothing else I'd heard. I suppose when I first properly got into music as such, particularly guitar music, you know, when you start buying it and really, really caring about it and that sort of thing, that was Nevermind by Nirvana. Mm. When I heard that, that just set off a bit of a bomb in my head. You know, it's just like, wow, this is the thing, you know.
You mentioned getting into guitar music. Do you play an instrument?
I played keyboard a bit when I was younger. I was in an indie band at school for a while, but I think I was always a bit of a frustrated musician, probably neither the talent nor the patience to do it, which is how I ended up more going into DJing and ultimately doing, you know, presentation on Manx Radio as well. So that was more my way of getting into it. And it's been a good thing, because we're going to be talking about festivals over the next few days, festivals that I've attended. None of the ones that I've featured, I've actually played at, but because of playing at some other ones. I did play at Manifest, actually. We did play Manifest. Yeah, we ran a tent there. But it helped to open the door to things. So, for example, when we talk about Levitation, a.k.a. Austin Psychfest on Thursday, Jip, who you know, Jip again, DJed at that. And the two of us later that year, we DJed together at the Liverpool Psychfest, which is a wonderful festival, and then did it again in 2016 as well. So it opens doors, I suppose, in a different way, but it's still having that involvement in music that's really nice.
Well, it's a great idea, seeing as festivals are off at the moment, to have some memories, to take us through various festivals and ones where you've seen some incredible bands. So where do we start? Where did we start the journey?
We are going back, well, almost exactly 20 years, I guess it would be, at Glastonbury 2000. So Glastonbury was actually the first festival that I went to in 99, end of the first year of university. I suppose a classic thing to do, isn't it, once you're a student, bit of a rite of passage. And it was in that sort of transitional phase at the time, so it was big and it was popular, but it wasn't as humongous as it's become. You could still go down to your local record shop and buy tickets over the counter. Not even necessarily on the first day either. I distinctly remember that. We were, you know, sat in our student accommodation in our house in Lancaster. And they're saying like, oh, well, this band's playing. Because they would drip feed the lineup, wouldn't they? And we'd keep looking. We go, well, it's not looking too bad so far. We'll wait another few days. Well, you couldn't do anything like that now.
No, it's completely changed.
Yeah, and security was a little bit more lax. So some of the people around that time, of course, were getting in slightly more nefarious ways. Yeah. We were honest and we bought tickets. We went in 99 and 2000, and it's a heck of an experience, isn't it, Glastonbury? It's
one of those, I've only done it once. Things. I did it in 94. I was actually working at it in 94, doing recordings of various artists. I'd love to go back, but I've tried. I've been, no privileges, just tried to get a ticket. Not a chance.
Exactly. It's become so difficult to, which is a shame, really. So, yeah, so I saw it in 99, went there in 99 and 2000. Got to see some great bands over those 2 years. made some, I guess, mistakes, you would probably call them, afterwards as well. Like in 99, when I decided to stay with my friends and watch the Bare Naked Ladies rather than go and watch Queens of the Stone Age, which I will always regret.
Nothing wrong with the Bare Naked Ladies.
They're okay, you know, in their way, but given how much I ended up subsequently liking Queens of the Stone Age, it was a real shame that I didn't see them in that earliest incarnation of the band before they'd really exploded as well.
So it's a band from that era we're going to have, first of all. Who have we got?
The Beta Band, Dry the Rain. Now, I actually got annoyed with my friends because they dragged me away from this set before the end, because I love this band, because they wanted to go and watch a certain Mr. David Bowie.
Don't blame them on that. You can't blame them on that, Ed.
But no, I didn't, because we did end up going to watch him. We saw him from the back of the field, so it felt like you were miles away. But he played a superb greatest hit set. But so I was delighted that I got to see Bowie subsequently. But this band was one of my favourite bands at the time. So Dry the Rain features in the film High Fidelity. I think a lot of people know it from that. It's just a wonderful song, and it's always been with me. You know, I've known it for 22, 23 years now, and I still love it as much as probably the first day I ever heard it.
Again, take me in, dry the rain. Take me in, dry the rain.
may be wondering how my MyTunes guests sound so crisp and wonderful this week. If you listened yesterday, it's because we're in two studios, as opposed to down phone lines and using bean cans and string. Ed Oldham is with me.
Hello again, Mark.
This is very nice. This is comfortable. It's almost back to a sort of a new normal for me.
It is, isn't it? It's approaching the old days, things used to be.
Yeah, socially distanced, but we can hear each other beautifully. We're talking festivals this week. If you missed yesterday, you missed a great first outing, the Beat Band, because we're talking festivals that you've been to, as we can't go to any this year. Well, yeah. Certainly not this summer.
Yeah.
Everything's on pause. But it will come back. It will return. It's already changing. The whole landscape of things is definitely changing. I ask all the guests this. How was lockdown for you?
It's just been a strange experience. I think we're quite lucky in that we've still been able to come and work. So that's made a big difference, hasn't it? Still having that ability to go somewhere else, do your job and then come home. So it's not been too stir crazy in that respect. But then, you know, you miss friends, you miss the opportunities to go away. I should have been going to Los Angeles in early April for 10 days, you know, going to watch some bands there, meeting up with friends who are from the East Coast of the US, who I also normally meet up with at TT.
So
twice, you know, we've not been able to hang out this year, which has been a real shame. But you do adjust, don't you? And it becomes... the abnormal becomes normal, and it's quite quick how that happens as well.
I think human beings are far more resilient than we give them credit for. We get used to things remarkably quickly. Yeah. Don't do that. Okay, I won't do that. Most people.
Yeah,
some people just kick against anything. But
of course.
You just sort of, okay, I won't do that then. Which festival are we zoning in on today in our festival week?
Well, yesterday we were at Glastonbury in 2000. This year we're going 9 years into the future, but much closer to home. Manifest. So this festival was held, I think maybe was it four times in total, once at the Nunnery and then three times out at Glenlock. And I think this was the first year that they did it, Manifest 2009. Some friends and I, we actually were involved with this one in that we did some DJing in one of the tents, which was really, really good fun. And the band that they got to headline that year, I was delighted about because I'd really enjoyed the stuff that they'd been putting out that decade, the Easy Star All-Stars. So they are a reggae band, dub and reggae band, who have become well known for taking entire albums and crafting them in a reggae and dub style. So the first one was Pink Floyd's legendary Dark Side of the Moon, which became Dub Side of the Moon. Then a couple of years later, that was followed by Radio Dread, which was OK Computer by Radiohead in its entirety.
That's brilliant.
Radio Dread's good, isn't it? And then this one, which came out in 2009, the year of the festival, the Easy Stars Lonely Hearts dub band.
Oh, good.
Sergeant Pepper in its entirety in this reggae and dub style. And because that was their latest release, that was what they focused on in their set that evening. And to just, to see a band like that playing in the grounds of the Nunnery in a little tent, you know, at the end of a festival in the Isle of Man, it was a surreal experience, but it's a really, really good one.
I'm really glad you've chosen a bit of reggae, because growing up in West London, as I did, reggae was a huge part of my life. And and once the Notting Hill Festival got going and you just wander up on a beautiful, always seemed to be sunny, and just listen to the bands playing in the street and the DJs, of course.
I was going to say that, like,
the
earth-shaking sound systems,
But it just is a massive summer sound for me. So which track have we got today?
She's Leaving Home.
Oh, perfect.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. Kitchen. father snores as his wife gets into her dressing gown. Picks up the letter that's lying there. Standing alone at the top of the stairs, she breaks down and cries to her husband, "Daddy, a baby's gone." Why would she treat us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me? She
iTunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest all this week, we're studio bound, socially distanced, wonderful, almost normal, Ed Oldham. Thank you.
Thank you again, Mark. I've really enjoyed this opportunity this week.
Lovely to have you. I want to talk about your passions for music, because when you did the music shows, as well as doing all the news and research and reporting you've done for Manx Radio over many moons, you really got to grips with the music programmes. And I love the way you take journeys into anything. How do you get drawn into those routes that a lot of us have never even heard of?
I think it comes with inquisitiveness. And it's not just within music with me. I like to know about things, and I like to see patterns, and I like to know where things come from, and I like to understand the evolution of things, be that sort of, you know, language, countries, elements of history, you know, and for music, it's very much the same as well. I always like to know, yeah, where things come from, why they were done, when they were done, who did them, and the links. You know, like the rock and roll family trees, for example, stuff like that.
Oh, Pete Frame,
Stuff, where you see the lineage of these bands and seemingly disparate artists who actually end up coming together, and I just find it very interesting.
I'm with you on that. I don't know if you saw the album series, there's been a lot of them, going behind an album. They did No Secrets, Carly Simon.
Okay.
And she wrote a fourth verse of You're So Vain, because one of the things was, who's it about, who's it about? And she never really said. But there was a mystery fourth verse, which she sang just on that programme. Did it tell you who it was about? No. But it was fun anyway. But I know precisely what you mean. Yeah. But when you get into something, you then find it spurs you on to another band and another one. Yes. Oh, I didn't know he did that with them, or she was in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess, actually, this next one's a perfect example. Because the Pretty Things were known in the late 60s for being sort of grubby little long-haired Herberts, I think, weren't they?
Very much so. I loved them.
Yeah, yeah. But that was what the mainstream thought of them. You know, you had the Stones being, oh, you wouldn't want to, you know, take one of the Stones home to meet your mother kind of thing as a girl. Well, the Pretty Things were like that, but times 10. But the music that they did was fantastic. And funnily enough, you know, we talk about the Stones and the Pretty Things. Well, Dick Taylor, who was in the Pretty Things and was one of the original members, along with Phil May, who was still doing it, you know, still doing that band up until relatively recently. He started out in a group called Little Boy Blue and the Blue Boys, with a certain Mick Jagger and a certain Keith Richards. And Dick Taylor was actually the original bass player of the Stones as well. You know, yeah. So again, you get all these little links and interlocking things. I mean, we've spoken about Eel Pie Island before, haven't we?
Oh gosh, yes.
And, you know, the scene there and what came out of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these clubs, a lot of these towns and cities have a world of their own. I mean, you and I have often talked with, but you mentioned some friends over in America about the New Jersey scene, mm-hmm. of the interconnectivity between them playing with him and the sort of guys in Bon Jovi ending up with Bruce Springsteen and some of them going for Southside Johnny and then doing Moving Around, Gary U.S. Bonds. And you look at this club of talent and all bouncing around. And that's a scene you've been, and talk about that for a moment, you've been over there, haven't you, New Jersey?
Yeah, good friends with some guys from there. And so I've been and watched a band at the Stone Pony.
Stone Pony, yeah. I've never made it. It's on my to-do list.
It's great. It's just, because again, it's effectively a little dive bar, as they call them in the States, you know, but it's still going strong. And obviously for someone who's, such as yourself, who's such a big fan of that scene, I think it's definitely a worthwhile pilgrimage.
It's a must.
Yeah.
Let's have today's track.
So this is the lead track off the Pretty Things album, Sci-Fi Sorrow. So this is SF Sorrow Is Born. It was one of the first concept albums, rock operas, that kind of thing, released in late 1968. And I saw them perform this in its entirety at Roadburn Festival in Holland in 2013. They were part of that festival, and I thought it would be a nice one to play as well, because Phil May, the singer of The Pretty Things, only left us last month. I think it was about the 15th of May, so I thought it would be a nice one to highlight today.
On MyTunes, we are reflecting on festivals that have been wonderful, as opposed to festivals that aren't happening at the moment. And lighting up our lives with festival sunshine all this week is Ed Oldham. Thank you.
Thank you once again, Mark.
No, it's glorious because I do miss live gigs. I mean, it's been great fun, all this stuff coming out in lockdown and people being very good and making lots of music, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. It really isn't, no. I've enjoyed the innovativeness of what some people have been doing, though, to get these things together and still make the performances. But like I say, it doesn't replicate going to stand in, you know, a venue or out in a field and watching a live band. It's just not the same.
It's funny, you know, maybe it's an age thing. No, it's not an age thing, because I've always loved outdoor gigs, whether it's been miserable weather or great weather. Because there's something about a big, loud stage with room, so it's not ringing in your ears. It's loud and powerful. Sometimes your chest is being moved by the bass bins if you're down the front. But it has that spaciousness about it. You never get indoors.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if it's a good sound system as well, if it's done right, which more often than not they are these days, and you position yourself well as well, you know, get quite near to the desk. I always think that's a pretty good place.
Yeah, because they know.
They know exactly. They're trying to do it best from their point of view, aren't they, from where they're located. So I've always thought that's a pretty good
place tip to be. Advice. There you are. Festival advice, get near the sound mixing desk. You've chosen a few beautiful festivals. Are these in your top four, or have the artists driven your choices? Is there a festival you haven't included that you'd love to say, oh, that one was amazing?
I've alluded to it, but we've not spoken about it properly. I thought Liverpool Psych Fest, when that's been running, I think that started in about 2011, 2012, and it's still going. Obviously, I think they had a year off last year. They were due to come back this year and couldn't. We all know why. But that's been brilliant. The fact that it was right on our doorstep as well, because, you know, I'm not going to lie, I've done some real travelling to some festivals. Yeah. You know, I've gone a long way to get to them. But to have one of such high quality with such a wonderful range of music and bands from all over the place, right across the water from us there, and held in a really good venue, the Camp and Furnace, in the Baltic Triangle, I think they call it, don't they, in Liverpool, which is one of those regenerated, you know, post-industrial areas. It was just wonderful. Always a great atmosphere, really nice people that attend. Loved it, absolutely loved it. And to get to play at that twice, DJ at that twice with Jip was wonderful.
Yeah, lovely. Loved it to be at the helm at something like that and get your hands on it.
Yeah.
It's difficult for people organising festivals on the Isle of Man. Not one huge reason, the Irish Sea, our small population, and the fact that probably a lot of the bands might be, if it's a summer season, appearing in Leeds or Liverpool or whatever. So why would somebody come here to see the band when they can just get in the car and go up the road? It's difficult, isn't it?
It is, but then you're never going to get like an enormous world-beating band over here because they're not going to play a festival of, you know, 2,000 people or whatever it is. But that's not to say that they haven't done some really good stuff. I mean, Barry Fearon, you know, the Manifest organiser who Will all of those years ago got the Easy Star All-Stars over. Well, I think it was 2018 at Dark Horse Festival, which is the one that he now runs, up at Silly Moose Campsite in Ramsey. We had Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5. You know, one of the big sort of hip-hop bands, certainly of my generation.
Yeah.
People absolutely loved them. And we had him, you know, one of the rappers from Jurassic 5, playing in a cow shed on the outskirts of Ramsey. It was just, that's great. So there's the opportunity to get something, but like you say, you're always going to struggle with the really huge ones.
And Dave McLean doing the World Festival in Peel. More power to you, Dave. And if you are putting stuff on, good luck. Let's get this over with and let's keep some bands coming back to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's have our final choice from you.
Okay. Well, we've just been talking about Closed Home. We're going pretty far away for this one, actually. So Austin Psych Fest 2015 in Austin, Texas. Jip had the opportunity to go over there and DJ. Myself and a couple of other lads, friends, we went with him. And it was held at a ranch, as they called it, on the outskirts of Austin. It was touch and go as to whether the festival was going to go ahead, which when you've flown thousands of miles to get there, we flew down into Austin in, I think it was the worst thunderstorm they'd had in decades. You know, the heaviest rain, the thunder and the lightning and all this kind of stuff.
Horrible.
Got there the first day. We were there for a few days beforehand, but we got to the festival for the first day. And it was raining again and they weren't letting people in yet. And you were just stood there in soaking rain. But thankfully, the next 3 days turned out to be absolutely wonderful. the weather improved a bit. The festival itself was fantastic. And when we talk about these psych fests, it's not just, you know, psychedelic music. There's a vast range of stuff that they play within it. That year, they had, I don't know, likes of Primal Scream, Jesus and Mary Chain, Flaming Lips, Mac DeMarco, heavier bands were playing, all sorts of different stuff. But the real draw, I think, for a lot of people, and what led them to rename the festival that year to Levitation, was that after 50 years since they'd formed, I think more than about 30 years since anything approaching the original lineup had played together, Austin's very own 13th Floor Elevators, the psychedelic rock pioneers from the mid-60s, played. Four of the five original members, including Rocky Erickson, who we lost, I think, last year, and Tommy Hall, who was the lyricist and electric jug player. So you notice on this track and quite a few of their other songs, this is kind of like in the background. It's him playing a jug, which I think has been mic'd up and then maybe has some effects put on it as well. Very, very odd band, really. You wouldn't expect them to come out of where they did. But they pretty much brought the festival to an end that year. And anyone who knows the story of the band, particularly Rocky Erickson, will realise just how remarkable it was that four of the five original members managed to get on the stage, Rocky in particular, to play in their hometown. And it was just, it was one of those moments. You know, a band that I never, ever, ever thought I would get the chance to see playing in their home city, being loved and recognised for, you know, well, at the time, the pioneers and geniuses that they were. It was one of those moments, you know, I'm glad I was there sort of thing. And
well, it's been a brilliant week of my tunes. Visiting festivals, I'm closing my eyes, imagining the sunshine, imagining the rain, bit of mud, never mind. We've had a great week. Ed, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Again to Ed Oldham from Manx Radio for joining me on My Tunes this week. And keep coming back to manxradio.com for a whole range of podcasts. And there'll be another one with me, Mark Tiley, coming soon.